The Web of the Golden Spider by Frederick Orrin Bartlett. Chapter 1. The Closed Door Opens. In his aimless wanderings around Boston that night, Wilson passed the girl twice. And each time, though he caught only a glimpse of her lithe form bent against the whispering rain, the merest sketch of her somber features, he was distinctly conscious of the impress of her personality. As she was absorbed by the voracious horde which shuffled interminably and inexplicably up and down the street, he felt a sense of loss. The path before him seemed a bit less bright, the night a bit more barren. And although in the excitement of the eager life about him, he quickly reacted. He did not turn a corner, but he found himself peering beneath the lowered umbrellas with a piquant sense of hope. Wilson's position was an unusual one for a theological student. He was wandering at large in a strange city, homeless and penniless. And yet he was not unhappy in this vagabondage. Every prowler in the dark is, consciously or unconsciously, a mystic. He is in touch with the unknown. He is a member of a universal cabal. The unexpected, the impossible lurk at every corner. He brushes shoulders with strange things, though often he feels only the slightest breath of their passing, and hears only a rustle like that of an overturned leaf. But he knows, either with a little shudder and a startled glance about, or with a quickened pulse and eager waiting. This he felt, and something, too, of that fellowship which exists between those who have no doors to close behind them. For such stand shoulder to shoulder facing the barrier law, which bars them from the food and warmth behind the doors. To those in a house, the law is scarcely more than an abstraction. To those without, it is a tyrannical reality. The law will not even allow a man outside to walk up and down in the gray mist, enjoying his own dreams, without looking upon him with suspicion. The law is a shatterer of dreams. The law is as eager as a gossip to misinterpret, and this puts one, however innocent, in an aggressive mood. Looking up at the sodden sky from beneath a dripping slouch hat, Wilson was keenly alive to this. Each rubber-coated officer he passed affected him like an insolent intrusion. He brought home all the mediocrity of the night, all the shrilling gray, all the hunger, all the ache. These fellows took the color out of the picture, leaving only the cold details of a photograph. They were the men who swung open the street doors at the close of a matinee, admitting the stale sounds of the road, the sober light of the late afternoon. This was distinctly a novel viewpoint for Wilson. As a student he had most sincerely approved of the law. As a citizen of the world behind the closed doors he had forgotten it. Now, with a trace of uneasiness, he found himself resenting it. A month ago Wilson had thought his life mapped out beyond the possibility of change, except in its details. He would finish his course at the school, receive a church, and pursue with moderate success his task of holding a parish up to certain ideals. The death of the uncle who was paying his way, following his bankruptcy, brought Wilson to a halt from even this slow pace. At first he had been stunned by this sudden order of fate. His house-bleached fellows had gathered around in the small, whitewashed room where he had had so many tough struggles with Greek roots and his Hebrew grammar. They offered him sympathy and such slight aid as was theirs. Minor scholarships and certain drudging jobs had been open to him, the opportunity to shoulder his way to the goal of what he had thought his manifest destiny. But that night, after they had gone, he locked the door, threw wide his window, and wandered among the stars. There was something in the unpathed purple between the spear points which called to him.